see you all. And I look over my audience to see how many I know. Quite a few. Been 2 years since we've been behind this desk. Would you like to read with me from the Old Testament? The book of Jeremiah. And the 15th chapter in the book of Jeremiah. Reading together from verse 15. O Lord, thou knowest, remember me and visit me and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy loving, in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy judgment, because of thy hand. For thou hast filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual and my wounds incurable, which refuse to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar, and as water that fail? Therefore, thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. And I will make thee unto this people a fence-brazen wall. And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. Now, first of all, I think maybe we'll look at, we could look at seven different things here, but whether we'll get to the seven or not is another matter. However, I think in verse 15 we'll first of all look at the prayer of Jeremiah. You'll notice what he says, remember me and visit me. We don't need to bother with the rest. We're going to take this as an illustration. Remember me and visit me. A personal prayer. Israel was in a terrible state at this time, and this man is feeling it and the burden of it, all right. But remember me. How many of us then have to do the same things at times and ask the Lord, remember me? Now, the Lord isn't slack, and his memory hasn't failed any. And I often wonder why it is in our prayers that we say, Lord, remember so-and-so, and remember so-and-so, and remember this, and remember the other thing, as though the Lord couldn't remember. Well, he could remember all right. But here's a man, and he's thinking of himself at the moment. And so he's asking God to remember him. And I'm sure that those of us who have any exercise at all before the Lord have asked that same thing. Well, remember me. In this confusion, in this trouble, and there were plenty of it in the days of Jeremiah, and he's feeling it, but remember me. Look upon me. And I think what we'll notice then, the prayer is answered. Is it? Well, all right. I think it is. Look at verse 16. Thy words were found. Now there has to be an exercise before anything is found. It had been lost. And there's an exercise. Thy words were found. If you lose something and you want to get it, you'll surely have an exercise to go after it or hunt for it and so on. Well, does that not remind us of the New Testament then again? That was quoted in the Bible reading, some of it. But there is the one that says, well, rejoice with me. The coin that was lost, it's found. And the sheep that was lost, rejoice, it's found. And the boy that went astray and has come back again, he's found, rejoice with me. He was lost. They were all lost. The three were lost. As far as goodness, as far as usefulness, and so on, they were lost. But now they're found. Well, the word at this time was lost too. And so there's an exercise. Well, now, if I should have lost last night in the motel where we're staying a $10 bill, I would have been scouring around, I'm sure, from one end to the other to the thing. Why? There's an exercise. I want what I've lost. And so if we've lost an appetite for the reading of the Word of God, the Bible, then there's no use of us praying, Lord, remember me, unless we really mean it. And if we really mean it, look upon me and remember me. I've lost contact. I've lost contact in the Word. I've lost it too. And sorry to say, sometimes we do. You know, I'll use my own personal experiences at times to illustrate this. However, the block calendar is all right. I've got one too. And I use it to know what day it is. But I pull it off and I don't even read it. Well, that doesn't do me any good as far as the scripture on it is concerned. It just does me good to know, well, it's the 13th and it's the 14th and so on. But the main thrust of that has been lost as far as I'm concerned when I don't read it even or think about it. And so, he is saying the same thing. It's found. Thy word is found. O Lord, thou knowest, remember me, thy words were found. How wonderful it is then when we have lost contact with heaven and then his word has been found and we read it and there it is. And well, it's the same thing in connection with understanding. We can't rightly divide it. And God shines upon it and the Holy Spirit opens it up to us. And we say, it's found now. And what we get from this holy book, and I'm not going to run down other books because there's some for sale down below here. I've got some too. In fact, I've got too many maybe. But I never reject any more. Thanks for the one I got the other day, a gift to me as well. I keep on getting them. However, there's nothing that will take the place of this book that's before us this afternoon. And again, if we've lost our appetite, we need to find it. Thy words were found, and the answer to all of our problems can be found right here. And the answer to what we were taking up this morning in the Bible reading, as was said many times over, some of you weren't here, the answers are here. Thy words were found. Brethren, have we lost contact with heaven and his word? Thy words were found. Oh, well, I know we can commit them to memory. Some of us can't commit them as good as our brother Hawk can, or Walter Gustafson, or some of those, and so on. But nevertheless, we were reading them before they were even saved. Thy words were found! And we lost them sometimes too along the way. Did we ever lose what we had in the mind? Oh no! But we lost the value of it! We lost communion with heaven! And kept on in the assembly at the same time? Oh yes, you can do that. and the heart be as cold as a November morning in the east. I don't know about out here. When we start getting the frost and the cold and the snow, you can be as cold as that and quote scriptures too. But you've lost contact with heaven. It takes a real exercise and a daily exercise. It's not something that we can turn on the tape and say, well, there it is. I listen to so-and-so. I've got so many of his tapes now. Well, I lived in a day when they didn't have tapes. And if they didn't take notes, they didn't have anything. And then we took notes and then you didn't have it either. Why? If the note doesn't get up here, it generally doesn't get very far. Now, I'll quote a man that you don't know. Our brother Burnside remembers Mr. Shivis. And he used to always have a pad with him and take notes at a conference like this. When his girl was a little one, like some here, sitting beside of him, she whispered to her daddy and said, Daddy, why do you do that? And he said, I didn't know what to answer her because I never looked at them afterwards. He always took the notes down and brought them home, but they didn't amount to anything to him. Why? They didn't get inside, even. Thy words were found. And you know, we come to a conference. It's a nice vacation. Should I tell you this? Yes, I've got a different audience. And that happened 3,000 miles from here. Almost hate to say there was a preacher I brought to the conference. And going home, I hadn't taken part that day, so I can say something. Going home, I said to him, well, that was a pretty nice day that we had, wasn't it? He said, yes, the meals were good. He didn't mean meals from this word. He meant the meals from the dining hall. They were good. Ah, brethren, is it not true? I have asked different ones and even myself, what did so-and-so preach on? Now, right out of the blue. Well, I'll get my notepad and look up. What about this notepad then? Thy words were found. And so, are we going to find something from God today or tomorrow from this very conference? No matter who the speaker is, it's the word of God. Will we find something and say, it was found? And thank God. I don't have to turn up a commentary now. I don't have to go to this certain book. No, I got it from the word. That's what makes stable Christians. That's why some never leave the assembly. That's why some that we can shake hands with that we've known for so many years. That's why some of them have been among us all these 50, 60 and so on years. I wouldn't have been here if it hadn't been for the word. Thy words were found. And when we found out why we were gathered, where we were and so on, you know, I didn't even know. When I got baptized and I was going down into the tank, I thought to myself, what am I doing this for? Well, I couldn't have quoted a scripture because I'm a complete outsider. And I thought, I'm doing it for the Lord Jesus, but I didn't have a scripture for it. I didn't know. I just knew I was doing it for Him. Well, later on I did, yes. And then I was gathered out to the Lord Jesus. How long ago? People get awful interested in your age. Well, I'm not like some old ladies. I don't mind telling you. I was gathered out to the Lord Jesus in 1930, in January of 1930. Now, you mathematicians will figure that one up quick and you'll say, oh, dear, that was a while before I was born. I know that. And why were you gathered out? Well, as far as I could see, it was the best place to be. But I couldn't have turned up a scripture to tell you. But later on I could. God revealed it to me. And thy words were found, driving up the Blue Hills Avenue, Hartford, Connecticut, right from this holy book. I began meditating on 1 Corinthians chapter 3, And I realized this, why, that's not my human body he's speaking of, but that's the assembly of God, and I'm in it. And the Holy Spirit is in it too. And what a holy place that is. And thy words were found, and it began to open up itself to me. And that's why I'm here after those many years. Or else I'd have been somewhere else. You know why? I saw faults among my brethren. And they saw faults among me. And in me too. And you know, they've put up with me all this long time. And I didn't have as much trouble with putting up with some of them as they did with me, I don't suppose. But notice now, not only the exercise, there must be an exercise. And sorry to say, there's not the exercise among some that we would like to see. It doesn't matter what is preached. They carry on in their own self-will. They've made up their mind about a certain course and a certain way that they're going to live and walk and do and so on, and they keep on doing it. But others, with a deep exercise like Jeremiah had, what next? Well, notice now, and what does he say? Thy words were found, and I did eat them. There's real meditation. I did eat them. Eating. The very thing. I wonder how many times you've read your Bible through from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. If I was speaking to boys and girls, I'd say, now on this side, hands up. How many of you have read your Bible all the way through? Have you been saved 6 years? How many times? Over here in the middle, down here. Well, I won't ask the older boys and girls, because I don't want to humiliate you that way. But how many times have we? Thy words were found and I did eat them. My, when we find something good, don't we begin to eat it? I enjoyed my dinner today. If I didn't have any appetite, I'd have... I don't care for that. I don't like this. I haven't any exercise for that. So on. Well, what will you have? You haven't anything I want. I've no exercise for this. Ah, no. I had an appetite. And when we have an appetite for the Bible and an exercise for it, and we find what we're looking for, we'll begin to eat it. That's deep meditation and joy. And notice then the results of it. And that's what we want to notice as well. I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. That's the product. It produces joy in the heart. It's not just like going to school and memorizing something, and you've got to do it to get your grades and so on, and then you heave a sigh of relief when the exams are over and say, well, I passed anyhow. And just the same, I have to go through a written test, eye test, written test, driver's test, and so on every year in the province where I live. And of course, I just memorized the whole thing ahead of time, and I buzzed in last fall, and I failed. What do you think of that? First time. You know why? They had added 20 more questions, and you understand what they were like. They were in four blocks. You have to get one out of the four right. And they had 20 more than they had the year before, and they hadn't studied those at all. So I handed them in. Oh, I watched that one. I saw her marking them off. Oh, she said, I said, don't tell me. She said, you failed. Oh, dear. What happened? Well, I went home and studied the book. Come back the next week and passed. And sighed off. Sigh of relief, because I'm all right again now for another year, and I got my license. See? But I don't meditate on that anymore. Wait till it comes up again now. But is that the way we do with the Bible? No. We eat it. And we rejoice it. We don't just read it because it's our duty to do so. We read it because we enjoy it. Do we really enjoy the Bible? Yes, thank God for every man with an exercise that Jeremiah had. Before the Lord, he could say, "Oh, remember me." And then when God gives him his word and he's got it here now, thy words were found and the producing of it is in his very soul, as it tells us here. It produced that, the joy and rejoicing of my heart. And why? I'm called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Isn't that enough to rejoice the heart of any Christian to think that we're called Christians? First at Antioch, a divine calling. Christians, Christ ones. It ought to rejoice any brother or sister to know this. I've found it. I am not called a Methodist. I was brought up as a Methodist. And they have a method. And you might have been brought up by something else and somebody else and so on and so on. But to think, as Jeremiah can say, now we have a real name from heaven. Christian. It rejoices the heart to think, as I walk down the street and as you go down the street too, here's a little bit of heaven. Christian. And when we see the unhappy people, well, over there in Palm Springs, after it gets to be 100, you go down in the mall to cool off and sit there and watch the people go by. Many of them, 60 years old, oh, they're old-looking people. Here I've been preaching, I thought to myself the other day, I was preaching before you were born, and walking along like that, unhappy-looking, nothing rejoicing their heart, everything is wrong. The government is wrong. Federal government is wrong. State government is wrong. Palm Springs government is wrong. And now, they're wrong here in the wall too. They ought to have something else. And so, nothing to rejoice. Why? No Christ in the heart, the hope of glory. Brethren, if you are my brother, you ought to be happy that you're not going to hell. You ought to be happy that you're called by Christ's name. First called Christians, yes, to think of it, that he conferred upon us the bammy name of Christian. Isn't it a wonderful thing? What right are you to be called a Christian, Mr. Hawk? Well, what right did you have to be called that? That's right. Neither did I. So now we're brothers. And so do you, all the way from Ireland. Ah, the fighting country. What right did you have to be called a Christian from that place? None, that's right. And think of it, here we are. One from one place, one from another, and yet we're Christians. Why doesn't that help you to rejoice before God? We had no right whatever. I was born in the dark province of Quebec. At the time when I was, it was real dark then. Everything was in French. Controlled by Catholicism, and so on. And out of that darkness, God chased me around the country and saved me clear over in the state of Connecticut on the very main street of Hartford, Connecticut, the capital of that state. I was convicted and smitten down like Saul of Tarsus by one word from the Bible and the only one time it's in the Bible. And what's that? Eternity. His word was found in my conscience. And God saved this man that's before you and has kept him from that day until now. Some people say, how long have you been preaching? I've been preaching since 1929. That help you any? Oh, my God. Have you seen any soul saved? I saw souls saved before I was ever baptized. Why? Anything in me? No! It was so real to me that I didn't want to see them go to hell. And that's why it was real to them when I told them. Why? It was rejoicing on the inside of me that I was a Christian. This man is rejoicing because he was called a Christian. I hope you're a happy people this afternoon. Anybody in this Culver City that ought to be happy, it's us that are saved. They've no right to be happy. How could they be happy? There's nothing to be happy about. Oh, there's pleasures in sin for a season. I know that, the Bible says so. But a pretty short season, I can tell you. Now, it's the spring break, as they call it, over in Palm Springs. They're in there by the thousands, and they're acting real bad, and some of them are dying real young. Only in their teens. I thought, think of that. They've only lived a few years on this earth, and if they weren't saved, it'll be hell and the lake of fire for all eternity. And if you're not saved in this room this afternoon, that could be you if you're not born again. And parent, that could be your child if they're not born again. I thought of some of those the other day coming over there to have a good time, as they thought, where the sun is shining every day, and drop from the sunshine into the darkness for all eternity. What a dreadful thing it must be. And here we are, Christians, called by His name. Yes, thank God for that. Well, now, a little further along, verse 17, I sat alone in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. Separation. What will separate a man or a woman and cause them even to sit alone? Sit alone. Thy words were found. The word of God will separate me. And it'll cause me maybe to sit alone even. Oh my, are you going to be an exclusive? Yes, when it comes to the mockers. And when it comes to that, and as our brother mentioned this morning, our brother, I'm not putting you on the spot. You said that publicly, so I can quote you. He said that's why he doesn't go to ball games now. Well, I don't know how to play ball. I'm glad I never learned, so it doesn't bother me. But I did play football. And I don't do that anymore. And I was a dance promoter. And I don't do that anymore. I have to sit alone now. And I did drink wine before I was saved, but I don't drink any now. No social drinking that I find in this holy book. I sit alone rather than to do that. Mr. Sam McEwen was at a place where they served some, just a little bit like this. And they asked him if he wasn't going to take it, and he said, no, thanks. I want to go to heaven when I die. And you know, they hadn't been saved very long, and it worked good too. My, they got stirred up, and they thought, well, are we saved or not? I didn't do that. Sounds like somebody's trying to fire a gun at us, doesn't it? Separation. I sat alone. Rather, it would be better to sit alone than to mingle with the ungodly. I can't understand. And where I live, of course, I know they even have these skating rinks here now out on the desert. They have them. But they have them outside up in Ontario. I can't understand how a real Christian can go over there and separate and not separate themselves, but dance along on the skates and on the ice with the ungodly. Do they dance? Certainly they do, to the rhythm of the music. How do you know? Because I promoted dances, like I told you before. If they had the word of God inside of them, if they were rejoicing as this man was, if it had affected their souls, they wouldn't help to dance somebody else to hell. Because if the man or woman died on the skating rink, where would their souls be if they weren't saved? If you have this Bible in your mind and soul and conscience, and if you've eaten it like this man said, It will help you to separate yourself. I'll bring in another personal matter. My youngest brother, 9.5 years younger than me, I took him to school when he first went and protected him as well. And of course, when he got into a fight, he'd go and tell the others, "Well, I'll tell my brother." And that was me. So he thought I'd come out around and box their ears. Well, I did one time, and I boxed his too. But after I got saved, and we lived on the shores of Lake Memphremagog in Quebec, that's a beautiful lake, 32 miles long, 3 miles wide at the widest point, and the water was so clear you could look right down to the bottom of it. But after I got saved, I wouldn't even go swimming with him. That part? No, I said. If you should take a cramp and die as you are, you'd go to hell. And I don't want to be the means of leading you there. My, you say that was hard. My brother respected me till he died, and he's gone. I don't know where. But he never refused a tract. And also he told others, "He's the one. He's the one." And he would point me out that always was faithful with me. Sit alone. Separation, yes, it'll separate you from the ball games. It'll separate you from the dance halls. It'll separate you from the political arenas. It'll separate you from everything that is contrary to the word of God that we have before you this afternoon. And that's why the Lord gathered out and gathered to his name are known as a separated people. Why? Because thy word was found, and they ate it, and rejoiced in it, and walked happily in the paths of the Lord. Well, all right, a little further on now. And now we want to look at a little condition. This was before him too, and I read it with you, and he asked the Lord about it in verse 18. Why is my pain perpetual, and so on and so on. Now, verse 19, the Lord is answering. Therefore, saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. Here is a principle. If you are gathered out, you don't go back there to win them. You let them come to you. This principle also is communion. And this principle is one that you can go by. Let them return unto thee. Yes, here they are, and they haven't been restored yet, and they're walking in bypaths and wrong paths maybe. Well, do you go to that wrong place to win them? No, let them return unto thee, says the Lord. You don't go to them. You let them come to you. You've got the word of God. You've been eating it. You've been rejoicing in it. You've been happy in it, and so on. And now here's communion. Let them return unto thee. I think with that in mind, we'll read in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we'll read together. Verse 11. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. You're not straitened in us, but we are straitened in your own bowels. Now for the recompense in the same, I speak as unto my children, be ye also enlarged. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, wasn't he a father to them before? Yes, he was. They were saved people in Corinth, and gathered out, and gathered unto the Lord. But, just as we were reading in Jeremiah 15, where he sat alone, the call now is to separate and be separated from. I'm not going to go all over the various things that they're to separate from here. But the promise of God is, and we've got it here, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. All of those things are classed as unclean. And the promise of God is, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Wasn't he a father before? Yes, if they're born again. And he's talking to born again people. Well, why does he say that, some Christians would want to know? It refers to distance. I have a son in El Paso, Texas. I hardly ever see him, because I'm too far away. I live clear over in the eastern part of Ontario. Now he stopped to see us in Phoenix, and he stopped to see us in Palm Springs, and I may never see him again for I don't know when. But I'm his father. But I can't be a father unto him. That is, we can't have communion one with another. We can't be talking. Oh, well, you can talk over the telephone. Too expensive to talk very long over that. But the promise of God is here, just the same as with Jeremiah. Go not unto them, but let them come to you. Separation indeed. And when you are, God promised him he would bless him, and God promises us he will bless us too. I will be a father unto you. In fact, I will show myself that. Communion with the Lord himself. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now they were sons and they were daughters, but he couldn't show himself in his fatherly character as he would like to. Why? If they're all mixed up in these things that are mentioned before, then communion has been broken. He's still their father, but he can't show himself in his fatherly character as he has promised to do, and he said, I will do it. Therefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. You don't need a dictionary now to know what I'm talking about. Well, there's one thing missing. There's no water. So if I was dry, blame the brethren for not putting some up.